Wow. This story about this prison guard, Harry Nicoletti of Coriopolis, it just gets more outrageous as more details come out. I'm reading the reports on this and just absolutely blown away. This man facing 92 criminal charges. 92 of them. All surrounding attacks on prisoners at the jail that he was working at, SCI in Pittsburgh. People who were, for the most part, convicted of being sexual offenders in one way or another. For the most part. Not all of them that way, but most of them. And what's really interesting, as I'm reading this, and then I get a chance to listen to Marty talk about this for a while this morning, and then listening to Mike's show about this, is I really believe there are a lot of people who are just torn over this entire thing. Because there's a part of many people that's saying, yes, these guys got what they had coming to them. And then they're upset because the wrong guy did it. You know, most Americans would feel so much better about this story if it was a case of inmate on inmate. And then we could have a nice distance between ourselves and the offenses. And it wasn't us that did it. I mean, yeah, we're glad that it happened. And, you know, at least indifferent about the idea that it happened, right? But at least it wasn't one of our own that represents law and order and justice and civility and the law. But now, it was one of ours that did it. So we're torn. We're torn. Do we view this man as a horrible criminal? And all of these just allegations at this point. But here's my question for you. Should we be outraged at this point that a prison guard could actually do this, or should we be thanking him? And I think many people are really torn about this. Let me say this from the get-go. For people who are convicted of crimes, it is never my interest that they go into jail and then get whatever it is that they've done to others. It's not my interest in doing that. You go to jail, you do your time. It's not supposed to be pleasant, but at the same time, it's not supposed to be filled with assaults either, whether it be from other prisoners or from guards, especially from guards. They're supposed to be the people who are in there ensuring stability and peace, not facilitating and actually orchestrating. And my goodness, this man's getting accused of not only committing these acts himself, but actually encouraging prisoners to do criminal acts upon other prisoners. Well, with me right now to talk a bit about this is Brett Grody. He's an organizer with Human Rights Coalition. Brett, welcome to KDKA. Good to have you on.
Hi, great to be with you.
Brett, you must hear a lot where people say about people who go into prison as sexual offenders, you know, pedophiles. Well, you know, they'll go there and then they'll get what they have coming to them. But a lot of people never imagine, oh my goodness, it could possibly be a jail guard that would do that. What did you think when you first got word of this story?
Well, I first got word of this story months back before some of these details have came out. And as the scale of this particular series of abuses came to light, that has stood out, especially some of the grotesque details that have come to surface. But the thing that strikes me is how comfortably this fits within the patterns of human rights violations that are reported to our office on a weekly basis. We are consistently hearing about guard abuse of prisoners, targeting those who are convicted of sex crimes, but also those who are mentally ill, people of color, and there are very consistent patterns. We've documented well over 1,000 cases of retaliation, deprivation of food, deprivation of showers and yards, targeting those that file grievances, burying them in solitary confinement, etc. When it comes to this particular case, we do not get reports of such a scale and such specificity of sexual violence, but we do get reports of sexual harassment and abuse. Those aren't reported for, I would speculate, reasons why a lot of people outside of the prison walls don't come forward with their stories, whether it's shame or fear. And whenever you're dealing with the prisoners who were allegedly violated in this instance, right, the ones who are in the bottom of the hierarchy already, they are not very empowered to speak up about what's happening to them because of the dynamic and the social attitudes that you discussed in the intro, where they've already been forgotten and kind of shunted away into these facilities where they're just the refuse of society.
Brett, many people have been questioning, why did it take 2 years? I mean, this was going on for 2 years, and apparently nobody knew anything about it or didn't know enough to stop it from happening. First of all, do you believe it went on for 2 years without the authorities inside the jail knowing about what was happening?
No, absolutely not. Or if they didn't know what was happening, it was the kind of intentional turning of a blind eye.
What do you mean by intentional turning of a blind eye? What do you mean by
so,
that?
So one thing to talk about is there is a grievance system within the prison. So whenever prisoners have complaints, they file a grievance, and there's a process for processing that, right? So the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections official inmate grievance statistics for the last 3 years, we've gotten these through right to know requests, reveal that more than 98% of prisoner grievances are not upheld. So there is an institutional structure and culture of turning a blind eye to prisoner abuse. And all of these grievances go across the superintendent's desk. They go all the way up to central office, and the words of guards are routinely believed instead of the words of prisoners. So this is what I mean when I say if they don't know, it's because they are willfully not looking at evidence of abuse.
Well, my guess is that prisoners realize this, and if it goes on at a low level, then to some extent they just realize they have to live with it, if you will. It must get to a very high level before they finally say, I just can't take it anymore. I got to take the risk of telling somebody.
Right. I mean, it depends. Different people deal with it different ways. Some people keep their heads down and just try to kind of ride out the storm. Other people, if they don't speak up, they're even more vulnerable, and it continues. But I do know that the grievance stats show that each level of appeal, less people file the paperwork. And I know plenty of people that have written us and said they've just stopped filing grievances because nothing happens. But some of those who work most closely with us throughout the state have been kept in solitary confinement for 5, 10, 15 years. We're talking about dozens and dozens of prisoners based on filing grievances and a cycle of retaliation that will target them and create incidents within the prison, cell extractions. They try peaceful protests in the cell, and they'll go in there with the riot gear, and they can bury people in there, and they make an example out of them. So it does reinforce that culture of fear that you were referencing that does prevent people from speaking out.
Brett Grody is with us. He's an organizer with Human Rights Coalition. Brett, do you have a few more minutes?
Yes, I do.
All right, do me a favor. Hold tight right there. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. Is it because we don't train and we don't vet these jail guards thoroughly enough? Do we have jail guards that are just too heavily influenced by the outside and what people collectively believe about these sexual offenders? What is it about jail guards that there seems to be this high rate of offense, as Brett's describing? And is it worse when it comes to violence against prisoners as compared to police officers in throughout the country? We'll talk more about this coming up. I also want to get your thoughts about my Facebook question today. Should we be outraged a prison guard would allegedly, and it's allegedly at this point, commit these acts against sexual offenders, or should we be thanking him for giving them what many believe they ultimately deserve? 866-391-1020 is the phone number. You can find me on Facebook, M-A-N-G-I-N-O. 620, I'm Mangino. Good to have you here tonight. We're talking about Harry Nicoletti, a 60-year-old who's accused of 92 counts of abuse as a prison guard at SCI in Pittsburgh. And with us on the line right now is Brett Grody. He's an organizer with Human Rights Coalition. Brett, when it comes to jail guards, prison guards, do we not have proper training? Do we not properly vet these people? I mean, because if these allegations are true, if these charges are true, we're talking about a man potentially here that is worse than any of the people that he assaulted in prison. He's a greater criminal than them.
Right. Right. That's a very good point. You know, training is, of course, an aspect of what actually goes into that job, but I think some of the things you were discussing earlier about the broader social attitudes in this culture that has really fostered a war on prisoners is something that needs to be understood. People are entering into the prisons with certain ideas about who is incarcerated and what is permissible, but we shouldn't limit it to the training or lack thereof of certain guards. I mean, I don't exactly know what sort of training is necessary to tell somebody not to forcibly rape prisoners. I mean, that's a crime. Nobody gets that sort of training whenever you go to a job. I don't know of any other job where they have to tell you not to force yourself upon somebody sexually or to attempt to shove broomsticks.
Right.
You know, things like this is just beyond me.
Do we need some kind of modification on the ability of inmates to be able to report assaults like this?
Absolutely, and we need more community involvement. There are public interest groups. There are organizations like our own that have been attempting to learn what goes on in the prison. And what I said earlier, we've documented over 1,000 human rights violations in 4 years. That is a fraction of what actually goes on because of all the other factors we've been discussing about prisoners who are too afraid to come forward. There are prisoners who are illiterate, prisoners who are severely mentally ill. They don't think it's going to do any good.
Well, what about prisoners that make false accusations regarding these behaviors against prison guards?
Right. We also need a lot more transparency and community involvement so that we can understand what credibility there is. We have our own ways of attempting to assess which reports are more credible, right? So common sense things. If there's multiple witnesses reporting the same things, if it's from somebody who's reported to us before, the attitude of the prison, although it's typically that they will not talk or dialogue about anything. And
do you think that there needs to be a greater accountability on those higher up? When you're talking about ultimately the warden, the people who are in charge of the jail, the higher-ranking officials at the jails, at the prisons, where they get criminally prosecuted because of their willingness to turn a blind eye, as you described earlier?
I mean, oversight and awareness of many of these crimes. I mean, what Nicoletti was doing is torture under international law, and a lot of these conditions in solitary confinement units also meet that definition. And those who are higher up are aware or should be aware of what's going on. I, for a fact, know that we've given them voluminous complaints, and there needs to be oversight and accountability, but the political branches would have to exercise that, or the judiciary, and both of the mainstream parties are just terrified of being portrayed as so-called, as quote, weak on crime, right? And this thing that you've been discussing about, should we thank them for doing this, right? This kind of attitude where people feel comfortable in wanting retribution against those who commit the most vile acts.
Right.
That is, I want to return to that, but that also obscures the majority of those who are in prisons. And increasingly since the early 1980s in the state and federal prisons, it's been people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses.
Right.
And the degree to which they're able to violate those in the bottom of the hierarchy, those convicted of sex offenses, they can do that to others. I mean, we've gotten constant reports from guards who will, they have a problem with a prisoner, and they'll start telling other prisoners that this person did something to children, you know, and they'll just put that on them, whether or not they did, to turn other prisoners against them, right?
Right.
And it's permissible.
Well, at some point, you need to, I really believe that at some point, you have to hold the people responsible that are running the prisons. Because if they're held accountable, if they're held criminally liable for these behaviors and their willingness to not see what's going on below them, for their incompetence, if you will, then once that happens, then you're going to have those who are under them need to be going down the straight and narrow, because they're not going to want to be held accountable. But as long as they have this insulation, if you will, it's almost a complete disregard.
Yeah, that is very well said, and it's actually a very conservative law and order argument that those who are in charge of the system need to comply with the laws, and they need to ensure that those that are working under their supervision are in compliance with the law.
Right. Brett Grody, once again with us. Brett is an organizer with Human Rights Coalition. Brett, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. I want to get your take on this. 866-391-1020.